Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Eleonora Ipo and myself, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme today, Eleonora will be speaking to Renata Sperandio, the new director of the Italian Institute of Culture here in Dublin. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of Irish interest that have made the headlines in Europe this week, and we'll have some great music from Spain and Italy for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. Travel time between airports looks set to be reduced over the next 3 years. An EU Horizon 2020 project titled Pass Me is currently looking at ways to reduce airport queues and speed up luggage arrival. The results of the project are expected to be a reality by 2018. Orla McCarthy of Car Communications in Dublin, which is a partner in the Pan-EU project, says airport congestion will be tackled through a range of measures.
The project will focus on a number of high-level targets, for example, creating faster luggage drop-off and collection systems, reducing queues at key touchpoints through forecasting and capacity adaptations, the creation of smart boarding systems, reducing buffers due to increased predictability, provide passengers with continuous access to timely information in order to forecast demand.
Energy projects in counties Cork and Offaly are to receive €4.5 million in EU funding to explore what it will take to connect Ireland's energy grid to the UK and France. The Celtic Interconnector feasibility study will look at constructing a 600-kilometre cable in Knockraha, County Cork, to Brittany and France. The Greenwire Interconnector will look at linking our national grid from Offaly to Wales. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the key objective is to ensure that Ireland has alternative sources of energy in the event of unforeseen circumstances.
Well, at the moment, Ireland is very dependent on its energy, on the UK. And the point about this is to link Ireland with continental Europe so it has diversified sources for energy and to reduce its energy isolation.
The European Commission has launched a search to find the next European capital of innovation. The successful city will receive €950,000 to scale up innovation initiatives. Applications will be accepted up until the 18th of November 2015. Alicia O'Rourke of the EU Commission Office in Dublin says the competition has a clear objective.
It's all about promoting innovation and improving the quality of people's lives in cities. So the competition itself will reward the European city that's building the best innovation ecosystem, connecting citizens, public organisations, academia and business.
Annual house prices rose more in Ireland between March 2014 and March 2015 than in any other EU state, according to new figures out recently. Data from Eurostat reveals that house prices here increased by 16.8% in the 12 months up to the end of the first quarter of this year. This is despite a drop of 0.9% in prices in Ireland between December 2014 and March 2015. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says our house price increase figures are out of sync with most EU states.
Well, today's figures show us that house prices for the first quarter of this year rose faster in Ireland than in any other EU country. They went up by 16.8%. The average increase in the euro area is just under 1%, so that's quite a big difference. And up there with us are Sweden, Hungary and the UK, who also had high enough price rises too.
L'estate addosso. Un anno è già passato, la spiaggia si è ristretta ancora a un metro. Le mareggiate, le code di balena, il cielo senza luna. L'estate addosso, il ghiaccio a un braccio rotto, la voglia di tuffarsi, guardando entrare in acqua tutti gli altri. Ma lei mi ha visto che sono qui da solo e forse parlerà con me. Canzoni estive, minacce radioattive, istanti come un viaggio in moto in due, fino
scritto da qualcuno. Prima che il vento si porti via tutto e che settembre ci porti una strana felicità, pensando ai cieli infuocati e ai brevi amori infiniti, respira questa libertà. L'estate addosso, bellissima e crudele, le stelle se le guardi non vogliono cadere, l'anello è sulla spiaggia, tra un mare di lattine, la protezione zero spalmata sopra il cuore. L'estate addosso, come un vestito rosso, la musica che soffia via da un bar. Paloma, l'amore di una sera, gli amici di una vita, la maglia dei mondiali scolorita. Prima che il vento si porti via tutto e che settembre ci porti una strana felicità, pensando ai cieli infuocati e ai brevi amori infiniti, respira questa libertà. L'estate e la libertà. L'estate addosso, un anno è già passato, vietato non innamorarsi ancora. Saluti dallo spazio, le fragole maturano anche qua.
That's a track that's riding high in the Italian charts at the moment. It's by an artist called Joe Vanotti, and the track is called L'Estate Addosso.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
This is Eleonore Politi for Europe Today. This week, I'm delighted to talk about the Italian Institute of Culture, the main organization in Dublin which embodies an image of Italy, La Bella Italia. Historically, the Istituto Italiano di Cultura in Ireland was established in 1954. It is located in the heart of Dublin, in Fitzwilliam Square, in a 19th century Georgian building. Architecturally, one of the most interesting squares in the city, the building, part of the Irish cultural heritage, was bought by the Italian government in 1974. It also represents one of the best preserved Georgian buildings in Dublin, and I'm honored to have as a special guest the new director of the Italian Institute of Culture, Renata Sperandio. She has been covering this function for a few months. We welcome her in Dublin and in our program.
Okay, good morning, Miss Renata Sperandio.
Hello, good morning, buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Miss Renata, what is the role of the Italian Institute of Culture?
Well, it's Italian cultural institutes, or the Italian Institute of Cultures, are all over the world, and they are the cultural offices of the Italian embassies. So they are part of the diplomatic network. The mission is to promote Italian language and culture, which is quite, a wide spectrum of possibilities. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. We are about 80 some around the world, and there is one Institute of Culture, Italian Institute of Culture in Ireland, and it is here in Dublin, Fitzwilliam Square.
Which activities do you usually do to promote the Italian language and culture?
Well, first of all, we do have language classes, which are extremely important because, of course, without understanding a language, you do not really and totally understand the culture. And also, for a very practical reason, because they are important for our budget. So we do have classes and we teach Italian at different levels. And classes start in September. There are two semesters and we are very, very happy with the attendance. But we would like, of course, more people to come. Teachers are all mother tongue Italians. They're qualified. They're very nice, friendly people. And besides that, we do events. And if you like, I can tell you more about what
you're
planning.
Yes, yeah, I was going to ask you your future events, so please.
Right, so coming up on the 16th, there is one interesting event at the Irish Writers' Centre, Parnell Square, which will show what cultural cooperation is all about. It's some Irish writers and some Italian writers have joined forces to make an anthology that will be presented in, as I said, at the Irish Writers' Centre next week on the 16th at 6:30 p.m. And there will be some Italian writers in conversation with young Irish writers. The same book will be translated into Italian. So this book here is in English and it's called Lost Between, because the whole book is about displacement, the difficulties of immigration or finding yourself in a place that does not really belong to you. And the same book will be translated into Italian for the Irish part and published in Italy in October or September.
Okay.
And it will be presented there.
Okay, so is the writer Irish of Lost Between?
Lost Between is, as I said, an anthology. So there are 14, I think, Irish writers and just as many Italian writers. So it is it's a collection of short stories.
Okay.
And they are all, as I said, about being a foreigner in a, you know, very wide sense, in fact. But that is something that just came up. So it was something that we would like very many people to come to. And it was not in our program. It came up. And it was such a wonderful surprise that we could do this. Catherine Dunn is the writer, the Irish writer that really made it you know, as part of our project to do this. So, looking forward to that. But then in September, we will start with the season and we will have the presentation of a graphic novel on the 9th. The novel, it is, graphic novels are becoming more and more popular. They are a new way of looking at literature. So we have images and observations. And in this case, it is the story of the Battalion de San Patricio, the San Patrick's Battalion, that fought in the war between the United States and Mexico. And the Italian connection in this case is that the author of this graphic novel about the history of this battalion is Italian. He was fascinated by the story and decided to do a work, do something about it. So the work has come out and it's called Churubusco. It is the name of the place where all the members of this battalion were eventually executed and killed by the United States Army.
Okay, yeah. So in this event is coming up on September, I think?
That is September on the 9th. Then next we have one famous, in Italy, very famous and very popular mathematician. His name is Pier Giorgio Di Freddi. He has written many books about mathematics, logic, and practically everything. but what he does, he's written this book that really shows what his attitude is, and it's called Il Matematico Impertinente, which will be particularly difficult to translate into English because it is the, well, the, I don't know. I mean, I'll ask you to help me with the translation. And he is very funny and very interesting and very controversial sometimes. So he will be here on the 15th of September. And on the following day, we will have something more traditional but extremely interesting. That is the translation of Leopardi's Zibaldone, which is an immense corpus of work. And this was translated for the first time into English. The complete work was translated into English by a team of scholars and translators. And it is so, it has become so successful that they are having now the second edition, which is really extraordinary for a work which is not, you know, your science fiction or romantic story kind of thing. It is a really tough work of philosophy and literature, and it is absolutely amazing because Leopardi, who is very well known in Italy, yes, we all Italians indeed must have, you know, spent hours studying him, but is unfortunately not so popular outside of Italy. And he is not only a great poet, he is also perhaps one of the greatest philosophers at European level. And this book, this translation, really shows that.
Do you collaborate with the Italian embassy in Dublin and abroad?
Absolutely. That is part, I mean, we are part of the same network.
Okay.
So it is together that we promote what at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is called Il Sistema Italia. So whatever has to do with Italy is, of course, interconnected. So promoting culture means also creating conditions for Italian industries and enterprises to be better understood and to be better, to be in a better connection with all the foreign places where Italy is present. So, you know, promoting culture means really promoting our way of being.
Yes.
And it makes it easier to have people appreciate parts of our culture that we sometimes take for granted, that we are not totally aware of, and which brings us to the fact that we should also somehow, you know, promote Italian culture among the Italians as well.
Yes.
So, right, so collaboration is always going on, and the Italian ambassador whom you interviewed a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the honor for you to interview the ambassador and even you.
Right, so it is a
plenty of Italian culture.
I think there is a, you know, daily telephone exchange between the institute and the embassy, and yes, the ambassador is so kind as to come to our events as often as he can. And as I said, you know, we're working,
okay,
practically in the same direction.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And so, a part of Italy, do you also collaborate with other organizations of culture in Dublin to promote Italian culture?
Absolutely. And I, as we were saying before this interview, I was kind of panting and, you know, I was on the rush because I had just arrived from a very interesting conversation at the National Gallery of Ireland. We will collaborate with them and with other Irish institutions for a huge project which will be taking place between November and December of this year for the 250th anniversary of Dante's birth. Dante, as everybody knows, wrote The Divine Comedy.
Yes, of course.
It is a work very often spoken about, perhaps less often read, and this project will make us read or reread the Divine Comedy in public. That is, on the 28th of November, we will be reading Inferno, so 34 people 34 readers will be reading The Inferno at the National Gallery of Ireland. So save the date. And, and then the following week, 33 readers will read Purgatorio and Cork. And a week later, to conclude the cycle, 33 readers, not the same perhaps, new ones, will be reading Paradiso in Trinity College. So it is a collaboration among different institutions which will make it possible for people either to be part of this initiative by actively reading the text, or to be there and listen, or to help us in any way they think suitable. And we are very, very excited. And today I spoke about it with the National Gallery and the friends of the National Gallery, and I can already anticipate that they will be part of this, and I'm so delighted. This shows you that collaboration goes on, and in fact, in this case, the text of Dante will be read not only in Italian, but in different languages, English, Irish, German, French, and Spanish are already there, but we will like to have even more. So.
Yes, so it will reach a large spectrum of audience.
Absolutely,
multicultural, multi-language.
Absolutely, yes, that is the idea.
Yes.
And then hopefully, because the text is so beautiful, people will be tempted to challenge themselves and learn Italian so that they can read Dante in the original.
Okay, so it'd be a challenge, of course.
Yes.
For foreign people. Okay, that seems very interesting and in a really peculiar way to promote Dante abroad. So thank you very much for
your time
for joining us today.
Right.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Follow us on Facebook then.
Yes. This is Eleonore Politi for Europe Today. Thank you everybody for listening. Grazie.
Si es verdad, me dijeron que te estás casando. Tú no sabes lo que estoy sufriendo. Esto te lo tengo que decir.
Cuéntame, tu despedida para mí fue dura. Será que te llevo a la luna y yo no supe hacerlo así.
Te estaba buscando por la calle gritando. Esto me está matando.
sin ti y tú sin mí. Dime quién pueda ser feliz. Esto no me gusta, esto no me gusta.
Es que yo sin ti y tú sin mí. Dime quién puede ser feliz. Esto no me gusta.
That's a massive, massive hit right across Europe. It's a track called El Perdón and it's by Nicky Jam and Enrique Iglesias. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, we here at Europe Today want to say a very, very special thank you to the director of the Italian Institute of Culture here in Dublin, Renata Sparandio, for all her time with us this week. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, europetoday.ie, which will have a podcast of today's programme and a link to some of the items that we've mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.